This is an NPR News special. I'm Neil Conan in Des Moines. This is the second hour of a Democratic presidential candidates debate from NPR News and the WOI Radio Group. If you're just joining us, six of the leading Democratic contenders are here at Iowa State University's campus in a very chilly downtown Des Moines for what our researchers tell us is the first radio-only debate since 1948. No TV cameras, no audience. Instead of a line of lecterns, the candidates are seated at a U-shaped table. From my right, former Ambassador Carol Mosley Braun of Illinois, Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, Congressman Dick Kephart of Missouri, and former Governor Howard Dean of Vermont. The candidates have a minute to respond to questions, and within limits, we'll call on them for brief rebuttals and follow-ups. We'll take short breaks every 15 minutes or so, and we'll conclude this debate with closing statements. We've already talked about a lot of the issues, but a candidate is much more than a compilation of position papers. Personality, character, and experience are all critical to any president's ability to govern, and these are the kinds of things that voters want to know about before they make their choice. Here's an email that comes from Stephen Mulcher in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and about the role religion has played in your life, Senator Kerry. Can you give us an example of a political decision you made as a result of religious conviction, despite the fact that it was unpopular? And Stephen Mulcher adds that he's a former Republican who now votes Democratic as a result of his deeply held traditional religious values.
Well, my life has been impacted, as I think most people here would tell you. I was an altar boy. There was a period in my life where religion was a huge part of my life, and I even thought perhaps as a young man of going into priesthood, and that changed. My experience in Vietnam had a profound impact on my views, and to a certain degree made me question for a period of time. And then I came back to a practice that had a deeper and more fundamental understanding of my own relationship. But I have always separated it from public life. I've always viewed that as critical. I think I am who I am. My entire person is affected by my belief structure, by the values given to me, both through my parents and religion. But I don't make decisions in public life based on religious belief, nor do I think we should. I think that there is a separation of church and state, and whatever the doctrine of your state is has to guide you, but you don't make it based on that.
Congressman Kucinich.
When our country was founded, our founders anticipated the separation of church and state, but they never anticipated that we would be separate from spiritual values. And my spiritual principles, I try to bring them into the material world. I think that's actually why we're here on this planet, so that we can bring spiritual principles into the material world and thereby help to sanctify or uplift the material world. Gospel of St. Matthew, in Matthew 25, where he talks about, you know, whatever you do for the least of the brethren, that ought to guide some of our social and economic policy in this country. When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was homeless, did you shelter me? You know, there are things that we ought to do to bring spiritual principles into our public policy.
And Senator Lieberman, you wanted to get in.
Well, let me say how thrilled I am that we're having this discussion and how grateful I am to the questioner who, if I heard it right, said he changed from Republican to Democrat because of his traditional religious values. Religion matters to people. It's part of me. It informs but doesn't determine things that I do in politics. That's what it does for most Americans. But the important point is we've got to talk about it. Otherwise, the Republicans will get away with convincing people that they have some kind of monopoly on values and faith. In fact, they don't. What's environmental protection, which the Bush administration has been so miserable about? It's a faith-based initiative to protect God's creation. What about the least among us when you take, as George Bush did, America's national treasure, give it to people who don't need it because they're so wealthy, and the least among us are hungry,
Senator,
and homeless? That's not faith-based action.
Ambassador Mosley Braun, you wanted to get in.
I was really blessed as a child. My father would take us after Mass. He would take us to other churches and synagogues and temples. And so I grew up knowing the unifying kind of, or having a sense of the unifying spirituality among all the world great religions. I have, in my own professional life, however, actually had suffered being shunned in my church because of my position in favor of freedom of choice for women. And my position in favor or against the death penalty. It's almost oxymoronic that you got the two working against each other. But I had a situation in which I actually had to go to Mass one morning and see my name in the bulletin as someone to be called for having done a a thing that was against doctrine. So I think you have to keep them separate. Separation of church and state is what keeps this country great.
Congressman Gephardt?
I'm a Democrat because of what I learned in the Baptist church that I grew up in St. Louis, and it was the gospel of caring about the poor first. I grew up in a poor family, but my parents always talked about people that were poorer than we were and what we could do to help them. And that is what I think we all can do. I don't want to force my religion on anybody, but I certainly have tried to conduct myself in public life according to the religious beliefs that I learned in that Baptist church.
Here's an email question that we have for Governor Dean from Rhonda McLean in Dell City, Oklahoma. She writes, many reporters have commented about how you have a quick temper. How will this affect your ability to act as president? And Governor Dean, people, not just your opponents, are worried about this. What do you say to them?
Well, the first thing I say is, in order to assuage my quick temper, I'm going to answer some of the charges that were flurried at me at the end of the last discussion. We do not give tax breaks to Bermuda in Vermont. I do believe in a balanced budget, and I think we ought to have one, and I think we can do it in 6 or 7 years, and Bill Clinton believed in the same thing. It is true, I said Medicare is the worst program that was ever invented because you can't administer it properly. When my father died, I couldn't read the bill. And an awful lot of people get bills from Medicare they can't understand. Of course we're going to keep Medicare. It's one of the great programs that ever was. And, of course, I'm not against Social Security. These things get said in political races, and they're simply nothing more than political charges. Now, how about my temper?
How about it?
Our campaign really is based on hope, not anger. I think people have a right to be angry at George Bush for the things he's done to ordinary people. But our campaign is about empowering enormous numbers of people to have hope again. We've raised a lot of money. Not as much as George Bush. George Bush is the front runner in this race. But we're trying to get 2 million people to give us $100. That's how you beat George Bush, is not to give those big checks that he's getting. Get 2 million people to give you $100 apiece. We're empowering people, ordinary Americans, to take their country back. And I think 2 million people would gladly cough up the price of a one-way bus ticket from Washington, D.C. to Crawford, Texas.
Okay. Senator Kerry, you wanted to respond?
Well, I do want to respond because there's an important point here. I was not saying that he gave tax breaks to Bermuda, but Governor Dean has made a point of going around the country talking about Kenny Lay and the boys at Enron and how bad it is to give these tax breaks. The fact is that while governor in Vermont, he brought captive insurance companies to the state and wanted to compete with Bermuda's tax breaks. The Clinton administration tried to fight back because it took $100 million off the tables. We tried to close that loophole. Governor Dean fought against the closing of that loophole. So those are the tax breaks that, in fact, make the burden on the average taxpayers like Angela Runkles and others much greater. Okay. And that's what I'm fighting to close.
And with that, I'm afraid we're going to have to bring the previous hour to a close this hour and move on to some other segments. Here's another email that we have, and let's put this to Congressman Kucinich. It's clear from the last several elections the United States is divided, close to half Republican and half Democrat. What do you believe you have to offer those conservative voters that make up just about half the country, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, and how will you make sure that you represent the country as a whole?
Well, it's important for a president to represent the country as a whole. And the worldview that I bring to the presidency is looking at the world as one, as interconnected and interdependent. And as president of the United States, I'll easily appeal to conservatives because I was one of the leaders in the House of Representatives in trying to knock down the Patriot Act, which I voted against and which I've introduced legislation to overturn, and which as president I instructed the Justice Department to seek to repeal. As president of the United States, I think I'll appeal to conservatives as someone who wants to conserve the air, wants to conserve the water, wants to conserve jobs, wants the United States sovereignty to be protected by withdrawing from NAFTA and the WTO. These are the kinds of values which I think have the possibility of winning the White House. And so my candidacy has the broadest reach. I can bring in Greens on the environmental issues, Natural Law Party members on environmental issues, Libertarians on the Patriot Act, and I can bring in Reform Party members on trade, and bring in disaffected Democrats who want an old, unreconstructed FDR Democrat back in the White House.
Senator Lieberman, I think you have some experience with closely divided elections. How would you appeal to the other half of the voters?
Yeah, this is a fundamental problem. I want to go back to one of the first questions you asked about why are people turned off to politics in this country. My colleagues gave some answers about campaign finance reform. Right. But part of the blame is on politicians. We too often act in reflexively partisan ways, unwilling to acknowledge it. Maybe sometime the folks on the other side of the line are actually right, and we ought to work with them to get something done. In this election, I've said we shouldn't try to replace the polarizing leadership of George Bush with polarizing Democratic alternatives. I'm a unifier. I've worked for 30 years in public life to reject the extremes on both sides of the aisle. I know that you've got to find common ground based on shared values to get something done, particularly at this critical moment in our nation's history when we are challenged by terrorists abroad and we have the most difficult economic time for our people here at home. We've got to grow and protect the middle class, and that means working across party lines. I'm proud to be a Democrat, but my first loyalty is to the United States of America, and that's what I want to unite the people to make better.
You talk about polarizers. Are there polarizers in this room?
I'm afraid Howard Dean has said a number of things that are polarizing. He has represented anger. Anger has fueled his campaign. I love the enthusiasm of his supporters. He's done an incredible service to our party and our political system by bringing a lot of them in. But we've got to go beyond that. We've got to unite our party in the first instance, and you have to send a message of unity, constructive ideas, and hope. That's the way to beat George Bush's negativism and extremism and divisiveness. America suffers when we're not united.
Governor Dean.
I would submit, Joe, that's just what I'm doing. As you know, today, Bill Bradley endorsed me. A month ago, Al Gore endorsed me. Two people who fought bitterly for the nomination 4 years ago, as you're well aware. If I can begin to breach the gap between Bill Bradley and Al Gore and bring in people who have served long periods of time in Washington and all the enthusiastic supporters we have, then I think I may be the right candidate to beat George Bush. Let me just say one other thing. I agree with accommodation. Bill Clinton did a fantastic job as president because he had extraordinary political skills bringing people together. But you cannot accommodate to the right wing led by people like Tom DeLay. Their values are not the values of the American people. And I think that it's time to stand up to those folks' values. I truly believe that the right wing of the Republican Party puts the interests of their own party and their own power and their own vision for America ahead of the interests of the United States of America. And I agree with you. I'm proud to be an American. I believe, and I have a history as governor of working with Republican Senates and Republican Houses and Democratic and so forth and so on. But when people are unreasonable and put their own interests before the interests of America, then I say it's time to stand up. That is not the time to accommodate.
Congressman Gephardt wanted to get in.
I don't think we can beat George Bush if we maintain a position on trade like George Bush. And I think Howard and John and Joe, frankly, have shared the same position that George Bush has on NAFTA, on China. I was against those treaties. I think it's the wrong way to go. I've talked about the position that Howard had on Medicare. I just don't see how we beat George Bush if we are espousing a Republican position on deeply cutting Medicare. But here's the way to beat George Bush. We got to have bold ideas on health care, on energy, on international minimum wage. We got to get this economy moving again. We got to show people that we can actually get real jobs in this.
We're running out of time, and let's let Ambassador Mosley Braun finish up this segment.
I want to take the men-only sign off the White House door, not just for myself, but in order to invigorate this democracy and give people some thought that this government, that leadership of this government, can come from some quarters other than George Bush and George Bush Lite, that we have an alternative vision of the direction of this country, and it's one of perfecting our democracy and expanding it so that voices that right now are not being heard will have a chance to be heard, so that we can have the kind of progressivity and tax fairness that we've talked about earlier, so that we can have the interests of American workers put first, so that we can have real family policies and real family values and support for education and the like. So that's what I think, that's what my candidacy is about, and that's why I want to be president.
I'm Neil Conan. This is an NPR News special. When we come back, we'll cover more of the issues and hear more of your emails.